This is the Trails Church podcast. At the Trails Church, our mission is to glorify God by making disciples through the gospel in community and on mission. If you'd like more information about our church, visit our website, thetrails.org. Now, here's today's podcast.
And open your Bible with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 4 and 5. In 1945, C.S. Lewis wrote an essay entitled Meditation in a Tool Shed. And I think it holds special appeal for us on this Christmas Eve. Lewis describes standing in this dark tool shed with one single beam of light breaking through a little crack at the top of the door. And when he looks at the beam itself, everything else goes dark. The only thing he says he can see is a little dust floating in the air around that beam of light. But then he describes what happens not when he looks at the beam of light, but along it. And of that he writes, "Then I moved so that the beam fell on my eyes. Instantly, the whole previous picture vanished. I saw no tool shed, and above all, no beam. Instead, I saw green leaves moving on the branches of a tree outside. And beyond that, 90-odd million miles away, the sun. Looking along the beam and looking at the beam are very different experiences." When we gather in a room like this on Christmas Eve, we're aware of the light around us, the brightness of love for each other, the adornment of twinkling decorations, the sparkle of smiles and expectation, the shining beauty of a moment like this. We may not be aware of it, but even here we are met with a choice. We can merely look at the light we see in this room, or, like Lewis said, we can look along it, tracing it back to the source, the author of every good and perfect gift, every beam of light that we see, and allow our hearts to respond with faith, with worship to the God of every grace. In John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we encounter a massive claim about who Jesus Christ is and why it is this light from light came into the world. To bring life to mankind and also to bring light into our darkness. Let me read it for you. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Look with me first at the truth that we find in verse 4. Jesus is the source of life. John declares, "In him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men." And if we think of this verse like a Christmas present, we know that we have to open it and look into it to discover it for all that it is. So let's open up and discover what John means by saying that Jesus was life. Well, just before this, as he starts writing his gospel, he says very clearly that the Word was with God and the Word was God. He's pointing to the fact that Jesus, in fact, is God. These opening verses also teach us that everything was made through Jesus. So everything that lives has the breath of life that's given from him. We could pull in what we learn from Paul in Colossians 1, 15 to 20, knowing that all things in the world are also sustained by him. Still, John takes us one step further. He says that life found in Christ is more than physical existence. It is abundant life. It is spiritual life. It is eternal life, found only in Christ and only in relationship with him. And this is the very heart of the Christmas message. God did not send his own son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus said those words to a very religious man. And just before them is where we get the famous passage, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life." Later in a letter, John wrote the same truth, but in different language. He writes in 1 John 5:11, "God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his son." And so Christmas calls us to consider carefully how this life is received and why it is that it's such good news. For those of us who are in Christ, every time we open a gift, even every time we give a gift, we should allow that experience to take us to be reminded of God out of great love giving us the greatest gift of all. Salvation in Jesus, above all, the forgiveness of sins. In Christ, we cherish the gift that is greater than the sum of all other gifts we give and receive. So when the angel instructed Mary to name this promised child Jesus, the reason was given, "For he will save his people from their sins," Matthew 1:21. And this is exactly what Jesus has done. And so, Christian, on this Christmas Eve, remember what has happened to you and to your sin because of this child born in Bethlehem. Centuries earlier, the prophet Isaiah made it clear what he would do. The Lord has laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. What does that mean? It means that our sin has been completely forgiven. How? Because Christ has borne the burden and penalty of our sin. Christ was rejected so that we might be accepted. He was condemned so that we might be received. He died so that we might live in him. Christ is our life. So look with me along the light of one more truth that we see here in verse 5. The truth is that Jesus is the light. John writes, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So, kids, what day is tomorrow?
Christmas.
Excuse me? It's Christmas Day. And on Christmas Day, it's unlike, you know, 364 days of the year, you've always got to obey your parents and eat your proper food before your dessert. But on Christmas Day, you can do whatever you want. Parents, you're welcome. Grandparents, that's how you operate already. But even, it's not Christmas yet. You have to wait for tomorrow on that. This is Christmas Eve, and so we need to eat the main course before dessert. And here we must understand who Jesus is before we grasp what it means that the darkness has not overcome him. When John says that Jesus was the light of men, he is declaring that Jesus is God. We've rehearsed this already. In John 1:1, he was with God. The Word was God. It's important for us to understand this light. This is not a borrowed light. The sun is not just light reflected. He is light emanating. And Jesus doesn't just point us to God. He is God. He reveals God. As we've rehearsed over these last few weeks together, looking at the Nicene Creed, Jesus the Son is very God of very God, light from light. He shines into the darkness of the world and even deeper still, into the darkness of the human heart. That's the main course. Now we're on to dessert. And when John says that darkness hasn't overcome it, he's actually saying two things in one. First, he's saying that darkness isn't strong enough to stop the light of Christ shining in the darkened world. And to understand the word darkness biblically, and especially in the Apostle John's writing, darkness isn't just the absence of light, it's the presence of evil. And so as Jesus says in John 3:19, people loved darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. And yet the darkness cannot extinguish the light of Christ. not sin, not rebellion, no government power, no suffering, even death itself, will not stop the light of Christ from piercing into the dark. Second, John's telling us that the darkness doesn't comprehend the light. That's actually another way to see the same word. Overcome, comprehend. Well, what does he mean by this? The darkness can't comprehend the light. Well, those in darkness, living in darkness, cannot understand who Jesus is, who the light of the world is, until the gospel opens their closed eyes. Apart from the grace of God, the true light remains unseen, unwelcomed. But when the gospel exposes, when the gospel illuminates, when the gospel reveals, it opens blind eyes. It unstops deaf ears. It warms even the coldest of hearts. The good news of great joy is an announcement that Christ has come. And it also comes with a demanded response from every heart. So the invitation of Christmas Eve is, if you have never turned from your sins in repentance and turned to Christ alone as your Savior, hear the invitation tonight. Come and receive salvation. You who are weighed down with sorrow, come and rejoice. You who are anxious and wondering, come and find true and lasting peace. Scripture confesses, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and profess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, you will receive eternal life. You will be saved. So if you're tired of carrying the burden this Christmas Eve of your own sin, come to Christ, whose arms are wide open, willing to receive you, willing to forgive you. Come to Christ and receive light and life. And in just a moment, this room will be flooded with light and with song. The light represents the good news of the gospel shining in the darkness. Even it lights from the Christ candle and then will spread across the room, reminding us that we were first recipients of this good news, but also that we've been commissioned to go and share it. And so we pass the light around the room as a good reminder of that. And the song simply reminds us of the good news that Christ the Savior is born. And to look once again with wonder at the one who is the Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the light of your word and how it shines in the darkness of our understanding. And I pray that this little flicker that we've looked at tonight, just a couple of verses, would do its good work in revealing who you are to us, and that we might respond with faith and adoration, finding Jesus more believable and beautiful than ever before. And I ask this in his name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from The Trails Church. We hope you have been encouraged, equipped, and edified by time spent together in God's Word. And again, if you'd like to find out more about The Trails Church, visit our website, thetrails.org.